You're tuned to Progzilla Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest edition of Conversations with TV's Roger Marsh on Progzilla Radio. Now, today, for a change, I'm not doing bands and that. No, I'm doing something much more important. We have our special guest, Anne Clare of Bad Dog Promotions. Because if these things don't get promoted, nobody knows about them. Hello, Anne.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. It's lovely to speak to you.
Yes, thanks for the invitation.
That's quite all right. I mean, a lot of people, I don't think, are aware of quite how much work goes into the promotion side of things, but I'm sure we can put them right by the end of this.
Yeah, as you said, well, I think you said everything from the beginning. That's, you know, nowadays with internet, and there's so many access to the music easily, and so many bands. So that's just endless. And I don't know about you, but I know every day I discover like so many bands, you know, that I'm listening. And
yeah.
So of course, when you're a musician, you don't really think about all that, and you know, that's not really your purpose. So if you don't really make the move to be seen, if I can say, well, no one will, you know, no one will do the move for you. So it's really important to try to be noticed, even if there's a lot of people. But it's like just snowball effect, like I like to say, you know, with people, especially in the prog field, people really know each other. It's like a big family. They talk to each other. They share a lot. And then they will obviously share, you know, each time they discover something new and all that. So it works very well for the prog and the rock as well. But you have to do it at some point, because even if you release a really, really good album, if no one, you know, talk about it, and just if people don't know about it, that's not, they can't listen to it. So that's just logic. But as I said, that's a lot of work, and it can be a lot of frustration sometimes when you don't have reply, and when you don't have, you know, positive reply and all that. So it takes a lot of time. So as I said, musicians don't really have time for that, and that's not really their job. Like, some are doing the sound, but most often, you know, they're not doing the sound engineer job. So that's the same here. Yeah.
No, it's I must say that, especially the prog community are really good. If they do pick up on a new band, they're really, really good at promoting them and saying and telling other people all about them.
Yeah.
You do need the band's input, don't you, to help it along? You can't just announce a gig and expect people to turn up. You've got to tell people, and there's many and various ways of doing it now, aren't there?
Yeah, you have to create the interest. And obviously, the bands need, you know, to sell albums and things like that to be able to tour. And as I said, nowadays, you know, you have Spotify, Bandcamp. So people first are listening to the album before they buy it.
Yeah.
Why before, okay, that was a long time ago maybe, but before people have to buy the album to know what the music looks like. So they will, in the prog community, they will buy the album if they love it. So that's a good thing. But you have to make the first move and to be online. And I'm not saying I'm happy with Spotify and all that. I'm just saying, sadly, you don't have the choice nowadays, you know.
No, it's a good thing and a bad thing, because people can get so much music for nothing now, and the artist doesn't get any credit for it in that sense, do they?
Exactly. I was thinking the same last time. Yeah. I was looking, you know, there was a lot of, well, there are a lot of Russian websites, Russian, not specially, but a lot of download websites for album and things like that. And just out of curiosity, I looked at Night Skies, you know, the number of download. I mean, there was thousands of download. And I was thinking, okay, in one hand, if people have bought this album, we will be able to tour, we'll be able to, you know, to easily make better production in the next one that we're recording at the moment. But on the other hand, that means a lot of people are listening to our music. So, you know, we can reach a lot of people that maybe won't be able without internet. So, yeah, it's, as you said, you have pros and cons.
Yeah, the hope is, of course, they hear the album and then see that they're playing fairly local to them. We'll go to see them live, and then say, "Oh, I must buy this now I've seen them live." So I realise it helps support the bands, doesn't it? It keeps the bands going.
Well, actually, nowadays a lot of artists are asking me advice and telling me that they're freaking out, because they tell me, I was used to sell a lot of pre-orders, a lot of albums, and you know, now it's really hard, or if people buy, it's digital on Bandcamp. Because nowadays, that's, you said it once again, you're right. The only way, or the best way, we say, the best way to sell merch or t-shirt or album is a gig.
Yeah.
But we all know how much it's difficult to gigs nowadays.
To get people,
you need to sell albums so people, you know, are interested. Yeah. So it's like a circle. It's really hard to go out of that, but yeah.
But again, it's like a snowball. Once people do start going, then the sales increase and people come. And if you are a good live band, word of mouth gets out quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think people like Ebb have got that reputation now. People see the name. This time last year, not many people knew about them. But now there's done a couple of festivals, people know about them. They go, oh, Ebb, I really like their live. They're really good. And tell everybody else.
Of course. That's always the real good thing to be able to gig and, for the bands.
Things like Wokingham Festival are good like that, though, aren't they? They get newer prog bands on and people see
them. They are really good because, they mix rock band, prog band, a lot of genre over, 3 days. And, I mean, that's a bank holiday weekend, so people can come. That's really a family spirit.
Yeah.
You know, that's really a family spirit festival. You feel really well. And they're really good to mix both great headline, famous artist, and as you said, artist that maybe people know less, but that will really happy to discover and to follow after that. So yeah, they're really good for that. Yeah,
I mean, you know, I've been there 2 or 3 times now, and I already knew members of Focus and some of Caravan I knew, but I met Alpha Line there for the first time, met Leonie Jane Kennedy there for the first time. So it's really, you know, it's brilliant. Like you say, it's both ends of the scale, brand new people that need to be seen. And also, they're also playing on the same bill as people that they admire. So it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, from the inside view, if I can say, they're really good for the artist, you know?
Yeah,
everything is really comfy for the artist to play. So that's really, really, really good.
I've heard no complaints, to be fair. No, it's gone really well. So how would you say your year's been going so far? What can you tell us about what you've been up to and successes?
Well, regarding Bad Dog, I have to say that it's going very well for the last few months. Well, it was going well anyway, but I've got a lot of bands to promote, a lot of release. So I'm happy because, you know, I'm not, as I always say, I'm really lucky because I'm not running after clients or artists or contracts or that are coming to me. Once again, you know, the snowball effect.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's perfect when you're self-employed, you know, and when you're doing your own business, you don't really have to run after. And most important, that's for me, that means that people are happy with, you know, what I'm doing. So that's the most important. So yes, I've got Magic Pie, I've got Flor de Loto, I've got a lot of great artists. I can't name them all here, but...
Because if you miss one out, you'll be in trouble.
But I'm really happy for that. I will be really busy, and I think I have a few releases coming next week, next month. Already some for the end of the year on the summer. So yeah, I will be busy. That's cool.
Busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is part of your role trying to get bands involved in things like festivals?
Pardon?
Is part of your role to get bands involved in things like festivals?
My primary activity is really promoting. I'm not really a booking agent, but sometimes, as you know, I'm doing indeed some dates or promoting some gigs. Yeah. But that's always, most often, I can say always, with the help of the partnership of a proper booker or festival or. So, for instance, we're doing this prog event at the Butler in Reading that we started a few months ago. Because
we came down for John Hackett one, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now we started with John Hackett because Steve from the Butler, the owner, is doing a lot for music in Reading, and then he wanted to do something for the prog, you know, and because nothing is really local for the prog. There's a lot with London prog gigs, but in Reading or all this area. And then every 3 months, we're trying to make some events like that. accessible for people as well in terms of price and in terms of the another station is a few minutes walk away. So that's really handy. Yeah, it's really easy to go there from the Reading station. And there's a Wokingham Festival like each year, of course. So that just announced the programmation for the bank holiday, you know, in this summer.
And like, if we can only make one day, Monday is Prog Day, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, most often that's it. So Monday would be the 25th of August.
Yeah.
And so it's from Saturday 23rd, Sunday 24th, and Monday 25th. And there would be a lot of various bands. On the Monday, Tom Robinson Band has been announced.
The
liner, yeah. And there's the Dead Can Wait. There's a lot of, you know, of great bands all over the weekend. So you can just have a look, can just have a look on the website or just the Facebook Wokingham Festival or on Bad Dog. They can see all the information because the early bid are now, I think, if they want to buy tickets.
Excellent. We'll make sure the links are sorted and things. So hopefully if the trains are nice to us, we'll be there on the Monday. We'll see you down there, won't we?
Yeah, of course.
Excellent. So have you what have you been listening to at the moment? Anything in particular?
I'm listening so much music and so different things because I like, you know, when I'm working, I'm in my office. Now I have finally a proper office to work. That's really cool. And I like just working and listening to music. So of course it's my artist because I have to listen first to make sure, you know, that I'm what I'm promoting and after that, just because, yeah, I'm listening a lot of my artists. And in terms of personal music, I'm listening to every genre of music. So it could be metal, could be classical, could be prog. I'm not listening actually just only prog or lots of prog. I'm listening, you know, rock, everything actually, everything that's pleased me. So recently, what I have listened recently, that's a good question. The Weather System album, because I will see them in Bristol next month.
So doing your homework.
I knew already the album, but I can listen, you know, things like Ulver, Zillanard, or Steven Wilson. Of course, I've listened to the last one.
Yeah.
Listen to Sleep Token, or, you know, really that's really eclectic.
You sound a bit like me. I think there's only two kinds of music.
Mm.
Music I like and music I'm not keen on. I don't care where it comes from.
I think there's a lot of... I'm just curious to listen to everything. And, you know, as you said, we can't love or really be keen about everything. But at least I'm aware of, you know, what's going on. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's always good to keep an ear to the ground what people are listening to, isn't it?
Just so
So what's real? This is my very important question that I ask to everybody.
Oh, okay.
Right. How do you like your eggs in the morning?
Oh, you know what? I love eggs, so I don't really care.
that is a perfect answer. I like that. It's also a bit of a cop-out, but I'll forgive you.
But you know that French people don't eat eggs in the morning, but I love the breakfast. So, as I said, I love eggs. So, yeah.
Okay, that's fair enough.
As long as I don't have to eat Marmite, that's fine.
Do you know, I'm with you on that 100%.
Okay, cool.
Yes. So, we're agreed. Cool. Right. Now, onto very, very important things again. What are your plans for the future? What have you got coming up soon, apart from the Wokingham Festival, of course?
Well, as I said, I've got a lot of work with my day job with Bad Dog Promotion, and I'm always looking to, you know, new artists or artists I already know and that they want me again for the next release.
That's cool.
So I'm really looking for all that. New partnership with new label, things like that I've started, so obviously it will go on. Apart from the job, I have my my bands and my music. I'm looking forward to, you know, go on with as well. So we have Nine Skies.
Yeah.
We announced recently that we are recording the new album at the moment, which is a really specific album once again. We like to do something new each time.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
But the demo is almost done. So everyone will start to record their part, and I have to write the lyrics, of course. Then we will make some announcements soon, but I think that won't be before the end of the year or early next year. About the same for Frantic. I've started to work with Alex on new songs for the new album. Mm-hmm. But I'm just taking my time, and he's really busy as well. So that won't be before, you know, the same timing, I think, end of the year or, only next year.
So a nice full diary, basically.
Pardon?
A nice full diary, basically.
Yeah, but that's good.
As well as promoting many projects, Anne has her own musical project too called Frantic. From that, here is the new single, Sweet Confusion.
I know I've sky, a sweet confusion.
I see the light of sweet confusion.
And now back to our conversation.
I have noticed one thing.
Mm.
That's not an English accent, is it? How did you end up in Reading?
Actually, when with Eric, we decided to make the move to UK, we were first thinking about Cambridge.
Oh, okay.
Oxford, I think. Yeah, that was Oxford. And then I was teaching French at the time, and of course, I went there and I had an interview and they told me, yeah, that's okay, but we can just offer you a part-time. So as most of our teachers, you will have to work half-time in a pub or something like that. And we looked at the price for the rent and everything was so expensive. We said, okay, no, we have to be realistic. And then we just have a look and I saw, because Eric was looking for a job as a music teacher as well. And I just saw that Reading, you know, Reading Festival, we just knew the name of the Reading Festival. So I looked where it was and I saw it was really handy from Reading to go everywhere, you know, to go in London, to go in. Yeah. So I thought, okay, maybe that's a good move because we can, from the train, we are 20 minutes from everywhere, basically, you know, to find a job that would be easier. So that's why, basically, we ended up in Reading.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. My daughter lives fairly near. She lives in Wokingham.
Yeah.
She from Peterborough. She got a university place in Reading because that's the best one for teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, she stayed down in that area, and she's really happy down there. So I can understand why you picked that area. To be fair, it's nice down there, isn't it?
Well, actually, when I did my my PhD, I was for a few months in Peterborough.
Okay.
That was the first location where I lived in England. They have an amazing cathedral. After that, I was Reading and then Newbury and then again.
My daughter did Newbury as well.
I love Newbury. That's so beautiful. I moved a few months ago though to Swindon because Newbury is really nice, but it's so expensive that you know, if I want really to have a house with my office, my garden and everything. So I'm quite happy here. I'm not saying that Swindon is the best, the most beautiful town center in the UK, but I'm not in the town center, so that's fine. And I'm really good here.
And it's practical for you, so that's fine, isn't it?
As well, I'm really close to Bristol for gigs and Wales, and so that's really, that's handy. I'm still, not far from London. I'm still going to London and Reading for gigs as well. So, that's perfect.
Yeah, it's like us in Peterborough. We're an hour from London, an hour from Nottingham, an hour from Leicester. So it's all sort of, it's very cool. So, I mean, when you were growing up, what sort of stuff were you listening to? What got you into the music business?
My older brother is 8 years older than me, and he was into music because actually our parents, since we were a child, they just took us to the conservatory to learn classical music.
Okay.
At the time, nowadays it's a bit different. They're more modern and things like that, but at the time that was really the old way. That was really strict, really just classical, and the teacher were really, really hard with children. We were crying a lot. And but thanks to them, I mean today I can say no, I can read music, I can write music, and I know. So I think I've got good basis thanks to that. But obviously my brother when he was teenager, was more into rock. He went more into rock, thing like that. And he was a singer and guitarist in a band. And then he was listening to a lot of music, but classic, you know, like Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I was a little one. I was 8 years, you know, younger. So he introduced me to all the I said the classic, like I said, you know, Clapton and all that. So that's why I came into music, and I listened all that stuff. But at some point, when I grew up, I took my own direction as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's not, as I said, that's not only prog, but I think the first band I started to listen that was coming from my brother, but that was, you know, that was still the tape, not even the CD. So you have Two Faces, and he gave me the tape for the Faces A, I think. And on the Faces B, I saw something written Sonic Youth, and I said, oh, what's that? And I listened to that, and I was like, what's happening? And I think that's the first thing that I start to listening that, you know, was on Community for my brother or thing like that. So that's not prog at all. Well, that could be, yeah, could be prog. That's really, that's another discussion.
As they say now, prog adjacent. I think that's what people call most things they can't quite put in a box. But no, that's cool.
Good enough.
Yeah. No, it's good. You've got like a brother who's got you into music, but then you've also got, you do it yourself and go off and find what you like. It's like a path, isn't it? You get to a point where you have to make your mind up. Do I go down that one or that one? So, yeah. So you're happy with your choice.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's cool. So, I mean, what are your favourite kind of gigs? Because I really don't like massive gigs at the moment. I really like the smaller gigs and medium-sized ones. When you can actually, like, up close and personal with a band, I get more out of those. Are you the same?
Yeah, I am the same. Actually, the last big gigs I did, I think, was two. The first one was AC/DC, because I've never saw them.
Oh,
and
right.
I was like, okay, if I don't go now, maybe, no, I won't ever. That was a few months ago. They were in London. And the second one was in London too, but that wasn't the first time. That's one of the bands I saw the most often in my life. That was Toto.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if really a band that I love, and of course I will go and see them. But I'm like you, I really enjoy the small venue and the small gig. Not necessarily small bands, but next month or you know, 2 weeks or something like that, 2-3 weeks, I will see Weather Systems.
Mm-hmm.
I already saw Anathema when they were still together, but I will go to see them now, and Haunt the Woods, I think, are the support act. So I've never seen them, so that's cool. And I just booked the ticket, and I did not realize the venue. You know, I looked last night for the parking and like that, and actually the venue is about. I love that. I love bouts where doing gigs. I organized one in France with John Mitchell. You know, and
okay.
The place like that, location with. I think I love that. That's not too big.
Yeah.
I love bouts, obviously. So that's yeah, this kind of venue. And or in Bristol, you have a lot of warm, nice venue.
Yeah, I mean, even the things around the big venue, it's to get in there and getting back afterwards and trying to get on a train. And if you sat far back, you end up looking at the screen, not the band anyway. It's all kind of But I try to express to people that all these big bands started off in small venues. You don't know. You might be watching somebody now, in 5 years' time, we're playing at big stadiums.
Well, that's the case with a lot of bands, actually, that you just discover them, and then a few years after, you're like, oh, okay.
yeah, blimey.
Awesome. But that's really fun to see that, and that's I mean that's really good, yeah. That's you're like, oh, okay, that's I'm happy for them, because you know most of the band just really struggled, so that's really cool. Yeah.
my go-to row with people who won't go to small gigs is well, if you lived in the 60s, would you not have gone to see the Beatles at the Cavern because you didn't know who they were?
Well, nowadays
you've missed out.
You know, just listen to the internet. It's okay. I love that or not. So that's
yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, you didn't have the internet back in those days, so it was all word of mouth and things like, "Why is everybody queuing up for this band nobody's heard of?" So it's a bit of a two-edged sword, because some people rely too much on internet information and not actually going out themselves and discovering stuff. Because when I first moved to London, every Friday night and Saturday night, we used to go to either the Marquee or Hammersmith, and we saw loads and loads of bands. Some we knew about, some we didn't know about, and some we actually loved. Until we went and saw them, we didn't know who they were. Then, but since then, we've been sort of like following them around all over the place.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of venues were helping, and you know, the people were used to go just to the venue because they knew they would discover something. But once again, like the band, the venue are struggling so much nowadays, and so many venues are closing. So
yeah, oh gosh, yeah. I mean, that's why.
But the perfect example for me of the band who started really in a small venue, like even pub and Noah, touring all over the world, that's the Midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw them a few months ago. That was sold out. That was everywhere. So that's I'm really happy for them because
It's even and the thing where some people don't go and watch the support band.
Yeah.
A couple of times I've been to watch a support band who I weren't aware of, and end up liking them more than the headline band I'd gone to see.
Yeah, sometimes I think it's happened to every one of us. Going to see a show and we don't know the support band.
Yeah.
And actually, when we go back home, we said, okay, I think I prefer the support bands.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be I still am, a big Scorpions fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see them at Hammersmith Odeon, and the support band were Blackford, who I wasn't aware of. But after watching them, we were so impressed, we managed to get tickets for the second night as well, just to watch Blackford again. It was just, I went to see Dio, and Queensryche was the support, and they blew me away.
Oh, dear, yeah.
Yeah. You just don't know, do you? But yeah. So, while we've got you, is there anything else you want to share with us? The floor is yours.
Before I forget, you're saying that, I really want to thank everyone at Progzilla for, because I know that's a lot of work and everything you do for the artist and the music and the prog. So that's, we need you, And artists need you very much, so because they couldn't do anything, and you allow people who like music, not only the artists, to discover a lot of stuff also. So yeah, as I said, I know how much work it is, and we all have our life and the time and family, so yeah, really thank you.
It's our pleasure. It's what we're here for. So Mike and I we're nothing other than enthusiastic people who enjoy the music. We're not kind of in it for any personal gain or anything. We just we've got a platform we can use, and we want to use it.
But I think you're all very genuine and in your love of the music and things like that. So that's really your passion, all of you. So like me, so that's why you were just happy to go on. And yeah,
and things like this, it's a pleasure for me to come and spend a morning chatting to people like yourself. And it's interesting to hear other people's take on stuff as well, We none of us stop learning, do we?
Oh, never, no, but each day is a school day, so as we say.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know if there's anything else you want to tell us, or?
Well, no, people are about to, if they are curious about Bad Dog and the way to promote their music, they can go on my Facebook or my website, Bad Dog Promotion. If they want to listen to Nine Skies or Frontic, that's the same. They can, everything is online. So, I'm really always open and happy to speak to people so they can reach to me if they want. So
any bands that want help in that way, just contact you and see what happens.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That's cool. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this morning.
Yeah, me too. That was a pleasure talking to you.
And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And until next time, I will say goodbye. It's goodbye from me.
Yeah, and we will see. We meet soon for a gig anyway. So,
indeed. See you at Wokingham.
Yes, sure.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Progzilla.